Hey, my name is Dwight Bernier, and I want to welcome you to the Acts 29 Canada podcast.
Hey, welcome to the Acts 29 podcast. So glad that you are with us for another great episode. Dwight, so glad that you are here for another episode as well. This is a good one.
Yes, it is. And I'm glad to be here with you. Had a great time with Shayla.
We did.
Shayla Visser.
National Director of Alpha in Canada. And she's got a lot of great stuff to talk about as it pertains to the work of evangelism and evangelism in our country as well.
Do you think it was difficult for them to come up with the name Alpha for their ministry?
I don't think so.
No?
No, I don't think so. I mean, maybe they whiteboarded a bunch of ideas, but I like it. Alpha, beginning, right? They're talking a lot about the intro into a relationship with Christ. So it seems to make sense for me.
Do you think that if they were running Alpha during the first strand of the pandemic, people would have been confused?
COVID Alpha? COVID strand Alpha? Maybe.
Was there an Alpha strand?
I don't think so.
That they actually talked about?
I don't think so.
It only became a thing when it was... I mean, the Omicron was like the big thing, right?
Is it Omicron or Omicron?
It's whatever you want it to be, man. It's Greek. Who actually knows how to pronounce it?
So true. So, and it's done. So
yeah,
we're not talking about it anymore.
That's right. Yeah, that was interesting because I think that our biggest point of disagreement was I really wanted to proclaim it over and she was not okay with proclaiming it over. And because we're introing it, I just want to say how wrong I feel like she was in that statement she made.
Giving her no chance to defend herself.
not at all.
That's good stuff. Well, hey, why don't we get right into it? This is our conversation with Shayla Visser around evangelism in churches in Canada.
So good to be with you guys today. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
This is exciting. Shayla, you and I actually have had the chance. I feel like we connected recently, but I feel like COVID has kind of changed the way that we perceive time. I don't know how you guys feel about that. It wasn't actually that recently that we connected. You had joined our church for one of our leadership series sessions. And in fact, you inadvertently advocated that I got a pay raise during that session. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I actually do remember that because we were talking about how important it is to have youth and young adult ministers like get paid at a far higher rate because they're so valuable and you don't want to lose them, retention. I remember that. And I am so glad that it seems to have worked out for you.
It was greatly appreciated. Thank you very, very much. So needless to say, any youth directors out there, get Shayla to come hang out with your staff team. But anyways, Shayla, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Tell us about your family and maybe tell us a little bit about maybe your opinion on Starbucks. How about that?
Okay. Well, I am Shayla. I'm based in Vancouver, actually. I grew up in Southwestern Ontario, went to the University of Western Ontario. My parents are immigrants from India. My mom is British, but met my dad in India. So we're an immigrant family and, you know, the very driven type. What immigrant family isn't? The kids are driven to do well in the world, to get great jobs. And I, of course, ended up on this path called vocational ministry, where you raise your own funds. And then I became, you know, a national director of Alpha, which means I raise funds for the whole organization. It was not the typical immigrant way, but my family's all on board and they love what I do and are very proud of me. I'm married to Ryan. He's a Vancouver police officer and he was formerly on the canine unit. So we have a retired shepherd, German shepherd, and we have a pandemic puppy. We were one of those people that went for it, but we just want to say we were always dog people. And so we got a Mexican rescue. And so we are proud parents of two four-legged family members.
Hmm. There's so much in what you just said, but I think you need to talk about Starbucks first. And then I have a whole bunch of questions that I'm probably not going to ask.
Okay,
you,
Dwight, you can ask anything. Starbucks. The reason I love Starbucks is, first of all, I drink tea and I love their tea lattes. But Starbucks is my dream job in terms of on the days when I think, why am I doing what I'm doing? The weight of it, the pressure of it, the expectation of it, or maybe I've just really done badly at my job that day. And I think, why does anyone pay me for this? I think, what would I rather do? And I think I'd rather be a Starbucks barista. Like from my perspective, with very little knowledge of it, I look in and I think the worst thing that happens in their day is they make a bad drink and they have to apologize and maybe get yelled at. And I'm like, that doesn't sound so bad. So maybe in my next life, I'm going to go and be a Starbucks barista and serve people their favorite drinks.
I love
There's a whole element of completion there, isn't there? Mm. Where it's like you finish a drink, you look at it and you hand it. And even if it's wrong, they send it back and you hand them what's right and it's done. It's all done. It's not that, well, we're going to have 30 meetings because of the way I just spoke to you or looked at you or did whatever. So
but, I appreciate the honesty there too.
Yeah.
That's Dwight, do you have a job that you think that you'd want to do on tough days?
You know, honestly, I really enjoy painting. I enjoy painting, and you know, people want to come paint with me when I paint, and I'm like, no, I don't want you to paint with me. Like they want me to make it a missional activity, and I'm like, no. I want this to just be a time where I'm alone in there. And so people will ask, well, what do you think about it? I said, nothing, absolutely nothing. I watch paint go on the wall and I watch it dry. And it's so satisfying because same thing with like the Starbucks cup. It's like, wow, I did that and that's done. And that's cool. Now I'm going to move on. So there might be a common theme of there just like completing something that brings so much joy that we don't get to have on a regular basis in our job. So what about you, Jordan?
I would love to work at a golf course. I just cut grass. That sounds awesome. I would love to cut grass every day.
We could start a business, the three of us, I feel like. Somehow grass cutting, painting, serving coffee. I don't know. Sure. Okay, I want to ask a question about the dog thing though.
Yes.
At what age does a canine retire from canine service?
Usually between 8 and 10 years old.
Okay.
Yeah. So our first shepherd, Blade, he retired at 10. Our second shepherd, Talon, retired at 7. So there's all sorts of different reasons, but typically it's 8 to 10. So we've had two shepherds. My husband was the trainer for the VPD, but before that he was just a regular canine unit handler. So he was out on the road with the dog. And our dogs are like serious dogs, right? Like the shepherds are cross-trained for criminal apprehension, guns, like weapons and drugs or bombs.
I feel like they have appropriate names too. Like Blade and Talon seem like they just fit the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an untraining course that they have to go through after doing all that?
No, thankfully most of them are well socialized. Like our guy, he's wonderful with people. He loves people. If you were in our backyard, he'll lean against you. He wants you to pet him. He's very happy.
That's really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
They know the difference when they're at work. So yeah, keep it going.
Oh man. Yeah. We should just keep moving in this discussion, but I really would like to talk about all of these things. Okay. So your role, national director, is that the title you're given? Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
National director.
That's the title I'm given. But let me just say, Dwight, what I really love to do is I love to serve people. And I love to serve the church in particular. So national director happens to be the title, but it allows me lots of opportunities to serve the church in our nation.
That's amazing. So Jordan and I both like The Office. Do you like The Office, the show?
I have gone suspiciously silent and have not watched an episode. Although I will admit that pre-pandemic, it was on every single lunchtime at our office.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So
now you have nowhere to go now. Yeah. You're like, yeah. Now I'm stuck. Well,
we could just take Shayla off for a minute. We could talk. But, okay. So Michael Scott, you know, Michael Scott. So he says at one point he wants something explained to him and it was over his head. And he says, hey, why don't you explain it to me like I'm a 4-year-old? So if you had to pretend I'm a 4-year-old, how would you explain Alpha to me? What is it that Alpha wants to accomplish?
I would say to you, if you're a 4-year-old, do you like to eat great food? Do you like to tell everybody what you think? Do you like to be challenged to think differently and see the world in a more beautiful, diverse way? I might use more simple language for a 4-year-old.
Yeah. That's a very advanced 4-year-old.
Do you want to meet new friends? Do you want to meet some really great people that you might not meet on the playground, but you could meet here on Alpha and make some new friends who you'd really love to hang out with? I'd probably say that. And then I would say, you know, and at some point along the way, you might get a chance to experience something you've never experienced before.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's really good. Yeah. I appreciate that. That's amazing. So why don't you talk us with that amazing definition as our starting point? Talk us through what a typical Alpha course would look like for a local church.
Yeah. Well, Alpha has developed more broadly than just alpha at a local church over a meal. Of course, with the pandemic, it went online, allowed people to reach their friends and family all around the world in different time zones, different cities that they'd never reached but had longtime relationship with. People run alpha in prisons, in their workplace, etc. And alpha really is just an opportunity for people to experience together what it means to follow God or know God. And it's really designed for people that would have no faith and that are curious. Although we will say that the angry atheist means that you're doing the best alpha possible. If you get really antagonistic people into alpha, it's wonderful. And so alpha really is just a safe place for people to come ask questions, push back against different thoughts and ideas and theology, and find new friends on the journey of life.
That's really great. And in our church, we've run alpha in a whole all kinds of different ways and different situations, different places. And, you know, when I first heard about alpha, I thought that people had to be equipped with like all the right answers and everything. But I was told like, no, you're just facilitating conversation and the desires to build community and have people feel free to ask questions that maybe they've never even asked themselves out loud before, and then to build relationship. And we've seen that not everyone has come to become a follower of Jesus, but so many of them are still. We have a guy that took it, I think it was like 4 years ago, and he's still hanging out. He doesn't come to all the church stuff anymore, but he's still hanging out. He's in community. We had a woman recently, didn't know that he had been hanging out for years and years. So she's sharing the gospel with him in a city group meeting, and like it's amazing. And we have seen a lot of people come to know Jesus. Well, and I just so appreciate it.
And I think, Dwight, what you're articulating is what we love about Alpha too. It's process oriented. It's not a one and done. In fact, I ran Alpha online for some of my university friends across the country. And one of them who took Alpha has come to our post-Alpha group. We continue to meet online. And she calls herself an atheist, but she reads the Bible. She does the Bible in 1 year with Nikki Gumbel, Express Version every day. And she says, yeah, I really am starting to like Jesus. And so it's a process. We don't expect people to necessarily go from I know nothing or I'm antagonistic to I've become a Christian, although that does happen. We know that discipleship can be a very long journey.
I love that.
Yeah, it really is. All right. So there was an evangelism report that was put out in 2021 to explore attitudes, behaviors, experiences surrounding evangelism from the perspective of Canadian church leaders across different theological traditions and Canadian regions. So that's really great. The whole thing is fascinating, enlightening, humbling. So you being national director and really smart with all this stuff, can you summarize what you found from the report and maybe highlight a few key findings that you thought were particularly interesting?
Yeah, the reason we did this is we were really curious about what was happening with evangelism during the pandemic, but even attitudes pre-pandemic. So 2,701 pastors across the traditions filled it out, which is quite extensive research for Canada.
Yeah.
And what we discovered were some good things was some churches really just accelerated in evangelism during the pandemic. They really went for it, and it was terrific. But that wasn't the majority. We found that 65% of church leaders were not prioritizing evangelism. And then when we got further into the data with some of the questions we asked, we realized that actually 32% of pastors, and this is church leaders across all traditions, think it's wrong to share your faith and try and lead someone to a faith in Jesus. And when we looked at that number and pulled it back apart for demographics, we found that children's pastors and youth pastors, 46 and 48% of children's and youth pastors think it's wrong to evangelize someone. So we realized there's some quite significant gaps in, first of all, common understanding, common commitment to mission in this way that's helping lead people to Jesus. And I think what we realized is there's gaps here. Where are those gaps? Well, Alpha Canada cannot fill all the gaps. There are so many. What's happening at Bible colleges? What's happening at seminaries? Where are they teaching about evangelization? Where are they giving people an experience? Then through youth groups and children's ministries, where are they teaching this? Who's equipping people, giving them a vision? And even though we defined evangelism, one of the questions I've been asking pastors on a regular basis is, most of them have a reaction to the word evangelism, but it's actually a reaction to the method of evangelism. And the method becomes the problem versus the actual doing evangelistic work. So we were surprised that there was that strong of a reaction to actually evangelizing, proclaiming the good news to someone, inviting them to consider becoming a Christian was so negative in the minds of youth and children's pastors, which are the next generation of lead pastors. So we realized there's a gap and we all need to be working to see how we can fill that gap.
Yeah. So what is, you know, that you said that people are responding with their understanding of what evangelism is. What do you think was coming to minds of some of these pastors and leaders when you say the word evangelism? It's like first thing that comes to mind, evangelism, go. Like, what are they thinking?
Well, it's hard to, like, we didn't say what first comes to mind when you hear the word evangelism. So I don't have data on that, but I can tell you experientially, you know, from all the conversations I've had, that it really is a reaction of either joy or despair. Joy being, yes, I want to be activated in this, or I've seen people come to faith, or despair as in like, please don't talk to me about this. It's either hopeless or I think it's wrong. And so there's two reactions that are happening in the, at least in my experience. And I would say that's for a lot of different reasons. Most church leaders in our research said it's the culture, right? It's the fear of the culture that holds them back and the negativity that's seen in culture around Jesus or the church in general. And of course, we've had so many things happen in the church in Canada over the last number of years that would make Canadians think negatively towards the church. And so they're up against that. But I think at the end of the day, it is very easy to be activated in the work of church and see it internal versus external. It's harder to keep the church focused externally. What happens in church life is you become inwardly focused and older in age. But the work of the church that's so hard to do and takes more energy, more money, et cetera, is to go younger in age and outward in focus.
Right.
And so we're always trying to encourage churches. What does it look like to reach more people with the gospel by keeping an outward focus?
Yeah, that's awesome. And by the way, so Dwight mentioned it already, and I would agree that report that you put out is quite fascinating and so many helpful data points there for churches as we consider how we can continue the work of evangelism and keep that outward focus. And we'll have that, like I said, we'll have that link in the notes for this episode, so for people to check it out on their own. But I wonder, Shayla, if you have any insight for us as we kind of move out of the pandemic. How did COVID change how churches feel about evangelism? Or maybe it didn't change anything at all? And did it change the way that they approach it from what you've seen?
Well, I think what we're finding at this point, and this is just our stats year on year with Alpha. You know, we know how many churches usually run Alpha year on year, how many courses run, and it's gone down a little bit. And what we've discovered in asking churches that have historically run Alpha, et cetera, is there's two things happening for churches. One, church pastors are weary. And evangelism takes more energy to get the people engaged and get them activated on mission. The second thing is that it's hard to get volunteers back.
Right.
Churches right across the country are saying volunteers are the hardest area of their church, and Alpha requires volunteers. But I think when people think of Alpha, they think of, oh, we should run that project, or we should do that product, or we should run that program. But actually, Alpha can be a vehicle for the types of culture you're trying to build in your church. And when it's seen as contributing to the life of the church, then it can really get momentum and start to help the church, not only in their missional focus, but actually raising up great disciples who are engaged in the mission of the church.
Yeah, that's a really good answer. So Jesus, his parting words are, you know, go and make disciples. And we know that includes, well, discipleship includes evangelism, that we don't just start discipling people when they say yes or sign a card or raise a hand or whatever, but we start discipling them ahead of time. And yet evangelism, and I would even say discipleship as well, continues to be something that churches and church members struggle with. So again, your experience, not the report, but your experience, what causes evangelism and discipleship to fall down the priority list of churches? And what's even more scary to me is that it's falling down the priority list of church plants, that we're planting a church for evangelism and making new disciples. And yet somehow that's like priority 7, 8, 9. Maybe we don't make it. Maybe it doesn't even make it on the list this year.
Well, my personal experience for myself as a leader, as well as other church leaders I know, that if they are not personally activated in sharing their faith and living their lives amongst people that would believe very different things than them, then evangelism easily falls off their priority, because who are the ones that are asking for their time? It's their Christians. It's the members of their church. It's the Christian ministry organizations that would like them to partner with them or fund them. Those are the ones that are the loudest in their minds. And the reality is the quietest are the people that don't know Jesus, that don't want your church, what your church has to offer. And so you have to go out of your way to be in their way. And that takes time and effort. And I think most leaders, and me included, have to really ask ourselves, are we spending time with people who don't know Jesus? Because then it's top of mind. But easily I can spend all my time with Christian ministry people. I can meet people like you and have a great conversation. But what about my neighbor next door? Like, right. I have a Bangladeshi family on this side, a Cantonese family and a Mandarin family on this side. I have a Cantonese family on that side, a Sikh family two doors down. Like, what does that look like in my daily rhythm of life versus just being a Christian ministry leader who travels and speaks and meets with pastors? If we ourselves as leaders aren't living a lifestyle of invitation, of neighboring, then it will easily fall off our to-do list of our church or our organizations.
I'll be honest. I can't fit Alpha into my life right now. Right. I have four little kids, four different teams, four sports this summer. And because COVID is, well, I'm going to proclaim it's over. Right. So now that we're moving past this, right, they're like, we haven't done anything in so long. It's like, yes, go. And so it's sitting down with my wife and saying, okay, we're going to be very intentional and we're going to sit with, I like reading, but it's like, we're going to sit with people. We're going to get to know them. We're going to get to know their stories. We're going to hear the why about their life, because we can't do, we can't even do our normal like city group, small group, missional community type thing that we're doing. But it's like, oh, we're going out as missionaries and this is our Alpha. This is our city group for the summer. Because at least in Montreal, I know it's a little bit warmer where you're at in the winter, Shayla. But if you're not doing mission in the summer, you have no ministry in the winter. Yeah. And so I just think what you said is brilliant, that it's not necessarily about Alpha. It's about reorienting our life around the mission of Jesus. And not adding something to our already like cuckoo schedule sometimes, but being present in the midst of that crazy schedule and figuring out how do we be the good news bringers? I know that's sometimes I make up things in English, but how do we be the bearers of good news, you know, wherever we're going, basically? So
Dwight, I couldn't agree with you more. And if I could lift off any guilt, I don't think you have guilt around it, but if I could lift off any guilt from you or others listening who are saying, oh, I feel Dwight, I feel that, I feel so badly, I can't do this or that. You know, I think we need to redefine evangelism for the church today. And the best definition I've heard is from my friend Daryl Johnson, who says, evangelism is joining a conversation the Holy Spirit is already having with another person.
Yeah,
and so good. What does it mean for you in your four sports or the four sports teams that you have to go to, like to just pray every morning before you head out the door or before you get out of bed? Okay, Holy Spirit, you're activating all around me. Show me today where I can join you. Show me today where I could join you. And let me tell you, he will open up so many opportunities over the summer that you will not have expected. But what you've done is position your heart and mind to anticipate that the Holy Spirit's involved in every single person's life that you meet. Yeah. And you're just asking God, where do you want me to join?
Right. Yeah, that's really good.
That's amazing. I think it's like so often when you hear the word evangelism, our minds instantly go to a method. Right. Or to a way. Evangelism only happens if I, you know, take somebody through the Romans Road or I take them through an Alpha course or those kinds of things. And so my next question kind of follows along that line of thinking that you're talking about already, Shayla. How has Alpha as an organization fought against the temptation to become institutionalized or to, you know, air quotes, take the place of the Holy Spirit in the work of gospel advancement?
Well, I think Nikki Gumbel, who is the pioneer behind Alpha and the vicar of Holy Trinity Brompton, says it brilliantly. He says, as soon as Alpha stops working, we will shut it all down. Because he said, we are more interested in people meeting Jesus than we are in Alpha. Alpha only happens to be a tool, a culture, an idea in the hands of churches. And so we've loved that. So I've grown up in this system that says, when it's over, we're done. And I think, great. So someone once asked me, why doesn't Alpha set up its own foundation so it can be here for a long time? And it's just the antithesis of who we are. We are an organization that exists as long as the Lord wants us to exist. And on the day that he decides to put his anointing in some other form of evangelism, some course, some cultural nuance that we don't have or haven't caught up with, we're all going to join them. And so we don't see Alpha living forever. The second thing I'll say is that we take prayer very seriously at Alpha. We pray every single day of the week in all of our national Alpha offices. We have weeks of fasting and prayer. We don't do a strategy without fasting and prayer. And so when we come to doing the work, we would say we are holding on to the coat strings of the Holy Spirit. We are not out in front. And on a regular basis, I'm praying, Lord, if I'm ahead, if I'm running somewhere where you have not already gone, like stop us, stop me, stop us. And so I think prayer undergirds everything we do, which allows us, I hope, to have a humility that one day Alpha won't exist and it will be absolutely in the will of God and good.
Or it could just keep going and that's going to be great. And that's really going to be wonderful because it has been used by so many different people and it's just, it really has been a tool. So thinking about it as just that, a tool. And this is we're supposed to be a church planting podcast, right? We talk about theological clarity, missional innovation, and cultural engagement. So what I love about Alpha as well is that some people feel like, well, it's a little theologically light, but it's like, but you bring the theology that you want to bring to it. You play around with certain things because it's really a great tool for missional innovation and cultural engagement. So asking the national director, how can Alpha be a tool in the aid of planting churches?
Well, let's just say I can tell you there are thousands and thousands of churches around the world that birthed with a vision for reaching a community that used Alpha to build their culture. And so I think most people think it's an evangelism program, but what they don't understand is that Alpha helps shape a culture. So if you want to have people that are trained in hospitality, in loving the stranger, in loving the other, who are outward focused, who are Holy Spirit dependent, who know what it means to allow the Holy Spirit to lead a conversation and not have to lead it themselves, if that's the kind of culture you want in your church, and if that's the kind of culture you want to encourage, then Alpha can help you in building a culture of your church plant that continues to fuel that type of work. And I think that's why church planters have used it over the last 25 years. And in fact, Gare Jones down at Vintage Church in LA, like literally landed in LA, started a church with very few people, birthed Alpha. And I think pre-pandemic, they were up to 450 people in LA on their Alpha.
Wow.
Many of them who had never considered Christianity ever.
Amazing.
But they've created a culture within their church. Or another example is Coastal Church here in Vancouver. Some of their church members had moved to Phoenix, Arizona. They said, well, can we be a satellite church for your church in Vancouver? And they said, what would we do first? And he says, well, just start running an Alpha. I don't want you to build a church with other Christians that are at a different church. I want you to start building a church where nobody knows Jesus. And so that's the kind of culture that Alpha helps build, is outward focused, hospitable, Holy Spirit dependent, full of love, process oriented.
Yeah, that's really, really good.
And amazing.
I mean, Alpha is a heavy thing sometimes for certain groups of people to be able to do that. And so we've seen so many people's gifts come alive and their passions and desires come alive. And we're trying to figure out, I know this is our Alpha journey now, it's not just about our Alpha journey, but I'll share it because maybe it's helpful for other people, that we felt like it's, we have great hosts, like amazing hosts, several of them. And but like cooking the meals and doing all the follow-up and all that stuff, they're like, we can't keep doing this, but we want to keep running Alpha. So it's figuring out people throughout the entire church. It's like, oh, you like making meals and you're home all day. Could you cook for 20 people? And could you bring that over during the day? It's like, oh yeah. And so like dispersing all of these things, and it feels, you know, very much like the church being the church, and people are helping with Alpha who can't actually be there to lead the discussion, and the people leading the discussion who don't have time to cook and do all that. It's been amazing. And it feels like so many more people are involved since we're approaching it with a team as opposed to just this couple.
And you're using the different gifts and talents in the church, right? Mm-hmm. And they get to feel like, I might have made cookies for Alpha tonight or cupcakes, but I was involved in someone's faith journey.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And that's exciting. And can I just say one other thing about church planting? If church planters are trying to reach young people, all of the research right now that's coming out is talking about how they want to explore on their own terms. And there is some research by Springtide Research, and it's a research project that covers like faith across all the different religions. And 58% of young people ages 13 to 25 told them, I do not like to be told answers and about faith and religion. I'd rather discover my own answers. And so we actually wonder if Alpha's best days are ahead because of what God has uniquely placed in our hands, which is a process where we allow people to come and discover answers for themselves. And our research in Canada with Barna says that young people want to know, is Jesus good? Not is he true, is Jesus good? And that's a very big mind shift for many church leaders and academics who could, you know, would like to give you the biblical reasons. And there's nothing wrong with that. We still need that. But we have to think about how we position Jesus as good and allow people to discover their own answers.
Yeah. And if I could speak personally for a second, I could absolutely agree with everything that you've just said. So much of our time this year with our students has been centered around the heart of Jesus towards sinners and what that looks like, and how, you know, Gentle and Lowly, of course, was a massive book last year. And so we took a lot of our students through that and talking about Jesus, the way that Jesus moves towards sinners and meets us in the brokenness of all of that has been so massive for our students. And of course, we haven't done Alpha in a while. I intend hopefully to have the opportunity to bring some of our students through it next year. In fact, this is a perfect time for you to come and chat about it and for us to be able to kind of have the opportunity to go through it again.
And well, so I don't know, Jordan, sorry, just briefly, I'll just say, did you know that we launched Life on Purpose in January?
I did.
It's a 4-part series to help your students, you know, activate their missional understanding. Yep. And so we hope that'll serve the church.
That's exactly what I was looking at actually for next year, which is amazing. And it looks like a great program, but thanks for that. And so I want to touch on a little bit about, you know, kind of where we are as a country and with obviously the vast amounts of research that you guys have done on that. Of course, you know, we are in a country that is being rapidly secularized. And so it's easy for people to get discouraged in the work of evangelization. And that's reflected, actually, you mentioned it already, it's reflected in the report that you guys put out. In fact, that people perceive an overall antagonism toward Christian values. And so that holds them back from sharing the gospel. And so how would you respond to that based on what you're seeing on the front lines of the work of evangelism in the country? And kind of how we should change our mindset as we approach having the opportunity to share the gospel.
I think rapid secularization terrifies lots of Christians, but it shouldn't. It's actually told us who's really with us, right? Who really wants to be a disciple of Jesus? Who's really in for the long term when it gets hard? And oftentimes when the culture comes against Christianity is when Christianity, and I don't even want to call it the religion of Christianity. I want to say the person of Jesus becomes better and better because we live a dramatically different life than lots of people around us. We have similar problems, but we have a different center. And so in that, I think secularization in Canada, although very trying and will become increasingly difficult for us as Christians, I think means there's a great harvest coming in our nation. And many people that I speak to who sort of have a prophetic gifting are looking ahead, looking back at history, looking ahead, are saying God is going to move deeply in Canada and the secularization is what's going to bring it about. I don't think any of us wanted the trajectory we were on post-secularization, which was traditional Christians going to church on Sunday, not really engaged beyond that. We want disciples of Jesus who are alive and eager to surrender their lives to his lordship. And I think now we have to look to that, live that way. Also, I think secularization points out how our leadership growth strategies perhaps were too much worldly and not enough spirit driven. Mm. And it makes us more reliant on the Holy Spirit, which I think was always God's first option for us.
Yeah, that's really, really good. Really good. Okay, so just to make it very personal for you, how have you grown personally in the area of evangelism in your life?
I'll probably just cover the last 5 years versus in my life generally. I have Sure. always loved seeing people come to know Jesus. I don't have the big E evangelism gift. Most people assume I do because I head up Alpha Canada. I Yeah. actually just want people to meet Jesus. It's a passion more than a spiritual gift for me. And so my whole life has had fits and starts with it. And I would say 5 years ago, I realized I was so busy in the ministry of evangelism that I wasn't doing the work of evangelism. Hmm. And so I started praying, Holy Spirit, every morning, Holy Spirit, let me join you in what you're doing. And then I also realized I'd become a bit of a functional atheist because I was starting to believe the narrative of our city of Vancouver that no one's interested. I wasn't seeing anybody interested in Jesus. I wasn't hearing many baptisms at our church. You know, we were seeing baptisms, but kids raised in the church, not people that were coming to faith from mm-hmm. outside of the church. And I started praying that first of all, that the Lord would forgive me for that. But then secondly, that I would believe Matthew 9, that the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. And it's like my spiritual eyes changed between the prayer of show me the harvest, Lord, and I'll pray for the worker, and I'm going to pray for the workers, and Holy Spirit, let me join you every day in what you're doing. It changed everything. And now it's like I have eyes to see. And I'll say during the pandemic in particular, I think the opportunity for me personally was to run towards people's pain and to offer prayer. I used to be a woman who would say, oh, I'm so sorry this is going on in your life. I'll pray for you, as in later.
Yeah, sure.
And during the pandemic, something changed and I started to be more bold. And like I had a painter in my house, I had a neighbor going through a trauma. And I just said, can I pray for you right now? Mm-hmm. And I've just made it a habit now that if someone asks for prayer who doesn't know Jesus, I say, or if I offer prayer, mostly they don't ask for prayer. If they share a problem or an issue, I say, can I pray for you? And then I explain. I ask them, can I pray for you now and explain what that means? 100% of the time so far, they've said yes. And I lay my hands on them and the kingdom of God becomes revealed to them and to me. Hmm. It has been extraordinary. I will pray for anyone and everyone if they'll allow me.
It's amazing. I've never been turned down for prayer either. Never had anyone ever say no. And praying in that moment and like awkward places, very awkward places. So I'm with you. And that, like, you know, that awkwardness of how do we cross over this bridge between where I am, where you are, how do we start this conversation? They just so often start with pain or struggles or suffering or I'm going through it. And we invite them into this realm where the spirit can work without us, but man, by opening up to prayer, the spirit oftentimes works in very interesting ways. So thank you for sharing that. Cause that, I think that's something that anyone can benefit from and could say, yeah, I could pray with people. So that's really good.
So Shayla, why don't you tell us a little bit about where people can go to get connected to Alpha?
Yeah, you can find alphacanada.org is where all of our information is on how you run Alpha. All of our resources are free. We've got the Life Shared series, which is a 3-part series for small groups to talk about how do we become more neighborly, invitational, hospitable. And then we've got Life on Purpose that I talked to you about. It's all available at alphacanada.org. And we just want to say we're here to serve the church. We want to see the church flourish, particularly coming out of the worst of the pandemic. I'm not quite there with you, Dwight. I'm not sure it's over, but at least the worst of it.
I hope so. Yeah, yeah.
And so we're here to serve and to encourage and to pray and to bless and to give all of our resources for free so the church can reach more people with the good news of Jesus.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. Well, thanks so much for your time, Shayla, today. Thank you for the work that you and Alpha are doing. And we're continuing to pray that the Lord would bless your ministry, that he bless the work and continue to bless the church in Canada through you and the work that you guys are doing with continued gospel growth. So thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Jordan and Dwight. I loved it. It's great to be with you guys.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I really hope that you appreciated the content that you heard. And as you're on your way out, would you do a few things? Number one, would you subscribe? That'll make sure that you get all the new content that Acts 29 Canada is putting out delivered directly to you. Second, would you give us a 5-star rating? That'll just help us to get noticed and help this content get out to people faster. And third, would you share this information with anyone that you think will benefit from it? Again, thanks so much for listening and have a great day.